Part of what the Russian military activity in Ukraine, Syria, and also with troop movements near the Baltic states and continued tension in Georgia and Abkhazia has shown the world is an aggressive campaign of Russian military spending on troop modernization, better equipment, and a junking of the Soviet-era hardware that was shown to be obsolete in Afghanistan back in the 70s and 80s. Last week, Russia announced it had launched 26 cruise missiles at ISIS targets in Syria from the Caspian Sea more than 900 miles away. The more than 8,000 people who have died in the conflict in Ukraine were taken out by old-class Russian weapons, largely, an indication that Russia can easily supply militias to do its bidding in places like Ukraine while holding back its latest technology for something else. Michael Kaufman is a public policy fellow at the Kennan Institute, a research organization focused on Ukraine and Russia. He addresses the question if this modernization is a strategy or just replacing rusty 20th century junk.
The modernization of the Russian military is really about restoring capability to what was largely a Soviet military that Russia had inherited and not been able to do much with for about 20 years. Essentially, Russia had inherited the sort of empty shell of a mass mobilization army from the Soviet Union that was completely inapplicable for any of its immediate needs. It wasn't able to function against local conflicts or crises. So it underwent a heavy reform process from 2009 to 2011 and a modernization process that goes on even till today.
Can we expect Russian special ops forces of the capability of CIA and, say, Navy SEALs or aircraft, which at one time was a strength of the Soviet military, or new Russian planes, talked about a lot on Russian media these days, are they a superior product to what was made decades ago?
Yeah, well, you know, from the perspective of aircraft, absolutely. I mean, Russia's been buying more tactical aviation, brand new aircraft, than any Western country, including the United States, frankly. And these are what are called Generation 4 Plus or 4 Plus Plus aircraft, which is, you know, about as good as you can get before you get to stealth technology. And, you know, even though they have not been buying them in large numbers, every year they have more and more. With respect to things like special forces, you know, what we call sort of tier one special forces capability, what people think of when they say Navy SEALs or Delta Force, Russia only recently founded this organization. It's called SCO, Special Operations Command, and it's debatable whether or not maybe they have 600 to 1,000 such operators, but we first saw them in Crimea, and most likely they're on the ground in Syria today as well.
What do you think of the naval forces? The Russian Navy at Sevastopol was considered to be something of a rusting heap for many, many years. Again, a leftover from the Soviet era. But are they developing the same kind of technology that, say, our Aegis cruisers have with huge sort of so-called radar awareness of entire oceans simultaneously?
With respect to the naval forces, it's kind of a very mixed picture. So Russia invested heavily into shipbuilding, right, with rather mixed results. And part of the reason for that, particularly in recent times, is that key engine construction for Russia's defense industry had always been done in Ukraine because that's where ship engine construction was done during the Soviet Union. And that's run the current ship program into a bit of trouble. So the thing about the shipbuilding program is Russia has outstanding submarine construction and great submarines. When it comes to surface ships, Russia's had quite a hard time. Right now, for years now, they've been working on the first part of a shipbuilding renovation, essentially focusing on smaller classes of ships, frigates and corvettes. The thing about it is that it's less about the ships. It's really that, you know, it's the year 2015. And Russia's really put out an entire new generation of capabilities, that is, missiles, anti-ship missiles, land attack missiles, which you just saw fired from the Caspian last week, surface-to-air missiles, surface-to-surface ballistic missiles, and long-range air-to-surface missiles. So what's happening is Russia's navy, by size, is getting smaller, but the missiles that are going on them are having amazing reach, much better capability. So you can actually have a smaller ship with a whole lot of range and firepower and what it can do.
So what do you think the Syrian air campaign, the fighting in eastern Ukraine, and to a lesser extent, some of these breakaway territories in Georgia and Abkhazia, for instance, and even the front lines of the Baltics, what are they showcasing in the glimpses of this new military that's coming into focus right now as you see it?
So in Crimea, there's not much you can take except that Russia has really good capability to command its forces, and modernization is a big part of that. One thing people don't realize very much is that using special forces is a lot about, it's about communications. It's about having secure communications and being able to command small units, which is not that easy. It's not just about having them. In Ukraine, you know, in eastern Ukraine, what we see is that, you know, Russia's military is not operating as a military. It's operating in these sort of specially tasked, organized, what we call battalion tactical groups, right, which is pieces of its force coming in. And these are sort of the cream of the crop contract troops being used from the airborne or naval infantry. But we're not really seeing Russia's army fight as an army. What it tells us, though, technologically from a capability standpoint, is that Russia's not using any of its latest and greatest in Ukraine. Russia's military shows that it has, even its sort of middling capability is good enough to take on any former Soviet country. It could take on any neighbor and beat any neighbor with even a semi-modernized, slightly upgraded military, not even using the latest technology.
Would you describe the U.S. relationship confrontation with the Russians right now as a hot piece, a new Cold War, or something fundamentally different?
No, I think it's something fundamentally different. You know, I think that we're definitely not going there, although I do think that the sort of period of confrontation, Russia is a lot more comfortable with it than the last 24 years of cyclical relations, for sure.
Michael Kaufman is a public policy fellow at the Kennan Institute, a research organization focused on Ukraine and Russia. Michael Kaufman, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.